Well, I think it's gone up. I think it's gone up with every game, you know, even down to every quarter or play. Because I've talked before about operating this offense in a practice setting, and you get good at that, and then you take it to a game. And it just kind of took me a little bit to really get comfortable. I wouldn't want to admit that. I wouldn't have wanted to admit it before because I expected a lot of myself. I expected to come out and manage the team at a high level. But I think, you know, the game experience at running the offense and, you know, it's all the little things where you figure out the ebb and flow of the game and how the offense takes part in that, how you're the manager. I just feel like I've just gotten more comfortable with doing that. And with comfort and confidence comes, you know, better performances and less mistakes. So I think that's where I'm at and just progressing steadily. Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, the more I get into a game with Coach Callahan, and the more that's coming, and we've got 10 more games left, hopefully, you know, it's just going to get more comfortable. I go over next in, and when I go over and get the play, that's because I want to. I like doing that because I like, you know, getting it from him. And then if I'm close enough, I'll do that. Most of the time, I'll try to stay out and get it off my wristband, but I like to go because I like how, you know, kind of we're building a little bit of a rapport where I can see him looking at his play calls, totally blocking everything else out. And I like to come over there and stand next to him and just kind of be part of that and hear what he's thinking and then go out and do the play as quick as possible. So I mean, I just feel comfortable with how we're operating on the field, and I hope it continues to grow from that aspect.
He compared you to a jackrabbit.
He did?
Yeah.
Well, you know, because it's kind of like when I throw a ball, I'm already kind of creeping my way over there, you know, because I kind of, one of the things about playing quarterbacks, you want to anticipate windows, anticipate, you know, when getting over there. So I get there quicker. He's looking at this thing, and all of a sudden he turns, oh, you know, there he is. So, you know, I'm good at getting over there quick because I like to get the play like that. It's something I've always done. You know, if we're moving the ball and I need to stay out there and get off the wristband, that's obviously quicker and just fine. But when there's time, you know, I like to go over there and get the play from him, and if he has something to spit out, I can take that with me out to the field. And, you know, a lot of times Joe will be right there, and Joe will tell me, good, that was good, or you missed this. You know, it's really cool, you know, the little three-way thing we got going on. I'll go over and get the play, and Joe will say, hey, you missed this one, or, you know what I mean? And then I can just, then it just goes up here, so that's kind of working out pretty good right now.
I'm comfortable enough in the offense now, and
you know, sometimes I'll anticipate it because there's a play that I want, you know. Like, oh, you know, and sometimes I can see it coming because throughout the week of practice, we prepare so hard, and I'm watching so much film, and sometimes the film I'm watching, he tells me to watch, or I'll get from Coach Watson where we're in a situation where it's you know, down in distance, and we're on a certain hash, and I know what he wants to get to. I'll think, okay, this could be coming, and I'll start to prepare my mind. But I don't try to, by any means, I don't try to, you know, put words in his mouth or expect something, because he obviously has that dialed in, and you know, he's got his, so whatever he dials up, that's what I do. But sometimes I get to the point where, like, well, it might be time for this, and then it happens, and then poof, perfect.
Susan, you have a jackrabbit over there, so you can say, hey, Coach, how about?
Never. No, never, never. He's got enough people doing that and enough stuff to think about. You know, as I played a lot of ball, you want to eliminate any confusion, and so I just go over there and wait. I don't understand. How do you mean? Different side of...
Just the scrutiny that he's been under, you know, as a defensive player on a struggling defensive team.
You know, all I can say is that those guys are, they're pretty tough guys. You know, they can handle the ups with the downs. And Corey has been the same since the minute I've known him. And he's never changed, and I don't think he ever will. And they're going to get this situation rectified. And, you know, it's obviously a tough situation that the defense is going through, but you know, I don't look at it as defense and all. We're all a team here. We're all on the same team, and so I stand behind guys like Corey and Bo. And I don't, you know, they're going to figure that out. We're going to take care of the offensive side of the ball, and the defense will be just fine. But you know, Corey hasn't changed. He's fine. But you know, Corey also probably wants to rattle some cages and get the defense going a little bit, because he's that kind of guy. He's the guy that'll spark something. And I think, you know, it might be a good time for him to do that. If he does that, I stand behind him, because he's one of the leaders of the team. So am I. And it's important that one leader makes a comment, or one leader wants to step out there and take responsibility or get things moving. You know, first and foremost, we support our coaching staff, but secondly, as leaders on the team, we have to. And when one guy makes a statement, we all toe in line. I think that's important. So that's where we're at.
4 games in, are you feeling more comfortable as a leader?
I think so. You know, coming into the season, people were talking about my leadership role and things like that, and I felt like I'm a natural leader. But and it also just comes with the position. But I wanted to hold off, because you can't really lead a group of guys until you actually go into battle with them. That's just not right. You know, you have to go in and prove yourself. And I proved myself as far as a worker off the field, and lifting weights and things of that nature. But you don't have the right to take ownership or lead a team until you've gone in and actually done something to back it up. So now that I've got a few games under my belt, I can assert myself where needed. But there's enough leaders on the team where, you know, I'm not the only one. There's a lot of guys. I only do it when it's necessary.
And your position also comes with a lot of scrutiny. Uh-huh. Have you seen Coach Kennedy's press conference rant from yesterday?
I saw it on SportsCenter, like clips of it. Yeah.
How much do you agree with what he's saying about the scrutiny that student athletes are put under? How much do you think it's just the nature of the, you know, business?
Well, here's what I think about that. Number one, first and foremost, that's none of my business. What a coach says, or what somebody in the media writes, both of them are doing their job. My place or my opinion on that, it does not matter, because that, you know, that's not my place. But I think what you see, and I can, you know, attest to it with our coaching staff and our players, I think you just saw a guy who just cares about his players. He cares about his players so much that, you know, that happened, and you know, that I have nothing to do with that, and you know, I will reserve any comments, because it's not my place. But I think you just saw a man who was passionate about his players and cares for them very much, and that's how we feel here between coaches and players. We care about each other, and we always want to, you know, support each other within our family. So I think that's what you saw, and whether it was right or wrong, I have no idea, because it I don't know enough about it.
Corey mentioned you guys were 3-1. Struggling to find out what exactly he was scrutinizing, because he was looking at wins and losses. What are expectations like here, especially for you coming from, you know, a Pac-10 school? Are they too high? Is it more than Arizona State?
I think with the tradition here and the fan base that has established itself over decades, there is a standard of performance at the University of Nebraska that is going to be held up high no matter what. If it's a good team, a great team, a decent team, it's going to be the same. And that's football. That's college football. You try to exceed or meet the expectations you place on yourself as a football team, and you hope that sits well with your fans. You just hope. You go out and you practice every day extremely hard, and you hope that carries over to a great product on Saturdays. Now when it doesn't, we have to go back and just work harder. When we're not meeting expectations of the fans, that, you know, that comes with, that's part of the deal. Sometimes you don't play to your expectations, and I really think that when we look back at the film and we come into practice this week, we're going to find things that we need to fix, and hopefully we can fix that, you know, for our you know, future performances, for our fans, for all that stuff, because we're always trying to reach a level of excellence. Now, when you look at 3-1. That sits pretty good with us. That's win and loss column. When you look down at the line in 2 weeks, we're going to look back at the Ball State and say, hey, that's a W, and that's a pretty good deal. So we feel good about being 3-1, but at the same time, we're not satisfied by any stretch, and we don't think the fans should be either. You know, that's just the nature of college football, and that's the direction we're going to go, is always an upward climb. You know, so we're not satisfied, but we're happy with 3-1, I think. And I think I speak for a lot of people in this program.
Hey, Sam, as you guys get more comfortable and efficient with your passing every week, where do you rate the importance of trying to establish that running game every game, especially if you get into the Big 12 when the teams are going to know your tendencies a little better?
Well, you look at all successful teams, you know, whether it had to be the NFL, college ranks, high school ranks, the successful teams have balanced attacks. And that's how Coach Callahan runs this offense. He runs it completely balanced. When you need something in a game, no matter what the how the game is taking shape, he's comfortable with going either direction. Now, the balance is very important, you know, in winning, because you can't be one-dimensional. Teams will figure out how to stop you if you're one-dimensional. So our goal is to always be balanced. That's always Coach's goal. And, you know, that's exactly what we're going to try to implement so that we keep teams off balance. You know, that's what we try to do every week.
Sam, I think you're struggling the way it is. So do you ever get to a point where you just say, Coach, let me take the ball and I'm going to win this game for you?
I don't say that, but I think when Coach Callahan understands that's, you know, his quarterback – will do that if he needs me to. I will go out and I will do my hardest to take that and take that role and make it happen for him and make it happen for this team and program. I think Coach Callahan, if he wanted to run the ball in the game, he could have, but just the game was moving so fast and we had to answer quickly with the way they were putting points on the board, then maybe, you know, that cost for passing to open up the game and keep the pace at the rate it was. So, you know, I don't second-guess any play calls he makes at all. You know, if he's a run play, I'm going to go in and do that run play. And I'm going to be just excited with the 15-yard gain on the run play as a pass play. That's who I am, and that's who we are. That's how we operate. Sometimes we just have to move the ball down the field quicker, and that's how it happened in this Ball State game. But when you saw the Nevada game, we were just chewing up yards on the ground. That's the way, you know, whatever's working is how we go.
Playing off what these guys fast, but I mean, obviously you want defense to play well. You want to establish a running game. But as a quarterback, I mean, is there a little charge in you when you know that you've got a situation where you're going to have to throw it a lot, you're going to have to bring the team from behind? As Zach Taylor said last year, he was being honest, he would have liked to throw the ball every time. He knew that wasn't feasible.
Mm-hmm. Well, quarterbacks, if you're a good quarterback and you want to play, you have to have that little bit of hey, I can complete every ball kind of mentality. If he calls a bunch of pass plays in a row, I'm going to complete every single one. You know, that's my goal, and that's how I feel. Throwing the ball is fun. That's my job. But my job is also to manage the offense. So if it's running the ball that's getting it done, I'm just as pleased doing that. As long as we're scoring and as long as we're winning, that's all that matters. But when games take the shootout aspect and they get into that thing, you know, that's pretty fun. I mean, I enjoy that throwing and being in a battle back and forth. You know, scoring touchdowns is a lot of fun. And it's more fun than not scoring touchdowns. But at the end of the day, none of that matters. What matters is the W.
What was the team after the Ball State game? What was the mood like in the locker room?
We were proud of the individual efforts that got it done. You know, the defense had a tough day, but look who stepped up and finished that thing. It was Stevie on that play. It was Bo Root's interception for the touchdown. It was, you know, Andre in the back of the end zone swatting that ball out of there so they couldn't get it in. Guys stepped up and made plays. So we focused on the positive in that guys stepped up when they had to. We've got a little bit down in here that can pull those things out. They have two close games now where, you know, Wake Forest and Ball State, where we've had to go down to the end of the wire and get that done. So we accentuated that, you know, there's positives to take from that. You know, even if we would have won like 48-10 or something like that, we still could have found things to improve on. But we're going to go back and rectify all the situations that are not going the way we want them. But at the same time, it's a W in the win column is what I'm saying. So we got together, you know, we said our prayer, and we were happy for each other because we pulled it out. You know, coaches and players alike.
You played number one USC, but it doesn't
Well, we had a tremendous preseason in the four teams that we played. It worked out great for us. The USC game was a tough one, but when you go into conference play, you're playing familiar teams that you play year in and year out. And even throughout the preseason, you're watching those teams to see how they're doing. You know, it becomes you know, a harder battle. You know, you cut the rigors of the Big 12 Conference. You know, each game, each week, you're getting a test. And that's something that starts this week. So we got to start getting that confidence going and go into the season like we're 0-0, like I said. And, you know, that's where we stand today. We stand right about to go into the Big 12 Conference, which is what it's all about for us.
Iowa State enters this game 1-3, kind of a rough start to the team. Just Carroll, what do you know about him, and more importantly, stood on the team?
I know that he's going to have them ready. He's a coach with experience coming from Texas, and he knows how to win ball games, and he knows the Big 12. And they're going to come into this thing 0-0 too. They're going to come in with extra life, a little extra spark. They're going to know that they can play with us, and it's going to be a battle. So we're going to go into it that way, thinking of them as the best team we're going to face all year. That's what we do. We go into it prepared every aspect, and with all the respect of the team, we don't look at them as a 1-3 team. We look at them as a 3-0 team or a 0-0 team, just like us. And we're going to give them respect, and when they come in here, it'll be a hard-fought game between two good teams.
How much time does it spend last year looking at Big 12 teams on tape to get familiar with personality?
Every week, no matter. I looked at who they played last year and what guys were going to be back, you know, what they did on defense, took notes. So, you know, you have a little bit of an outline of what teams do going into it every week, but, you know, it's not like it is now where I'm diving head first. But it helped last year to see how the Big 12 conference play kind of unfolded.